ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
टेक्स्ट नंबर 16। वक्तुमर्हस्य शेषेण दिव्याह्यात्मविभूतयः याभिर्विभूतिभिर्लोकान् इमां त्वं व्याप्य तिष्ठसि। Please tell me in detail of your divine opulences by which you pervade all these worlds. Text number 17. Katham vidyamaham yogin tvam sada parichintayan keshu keshu cha bhaveshu chintyosi bhagavan maya. O Krishna, O Supreme Mystic, how shall I constantly think of you and how shall I know you? In what various forms are you to be remembered, O Supreme Personality of Godhead? Text 18. Vistarenatmano yogam vibhutimcha janardana bhuyah kadaya truktarhi śrīṇvato nāsti mēmṛtam. O Janardhan, again please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I am never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. So in these verses now, Arjuna is requesting Krishna to talk in detail of his opulences. Earlier, in chapter 7 also, Krishna spoke many of his opulences. And chapter 9 also, Vibhuti Yoga. Now here, in chapter 9, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam, he spoke about the confidential knowledge and he spoke about himself and devotees and the relationship between them. And then in this 10th chapter of Vibhuti Yoga also, Krishna is going to speak about the opulences. Anybody remembers what is the purpose of hearing opulences of the Lord? We discussed it at the beginning of this chapter. What is the purpose of hearing about the opulences of the Lord? Yeah? Krishna's opulences well, then you can begin to understand Krishna's pastimes. Yes. Very good. By hearing opulences of Krishna, it confirms how Krishna is supreme. That confirms it more and more when you hear. Yeah. So all these are correct. Yes? Yes. Yeah. So what he said is very close to these discussions that are going on here. All of them are true. Whatever others said, these are very good points. Only when we know the opulences of the Lord can we know his greatness, and then we can appreciate his pastimes. Then we can be sure of his supremacy and all that. And here Arjuna is asking, Keshu Keshu cha bhaveshu chintyosi bhagavan maya. In what all different ways can one think of you, Krishna? He is asking like that. There are many, many principles of religion given in the Vedas. For a common man, to worship mother and father, or to worship the other living entities like cows, to worship the trees like banyan tree or the tulasi, and to worship the devatas like that. All these are considered dharma for a beginner of religion. But as it goes on, then one comes to the point of understanding Vishnu to be supreme amongst all the gods. And even in the worship of Vishnu, one may perform yajna, sacrifices. Beyond desire for going to heaven or desire for achieving moksha, liberation, four purusharthas are there, isn't it? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So even beyond the desire for liberation is the desire for worshipping the Lord, worshipping Krishna. That's called as panchama purushartha, which is bhakti. So in that bhakti also, there are many, many principles given. In bhakti, Navavidha bhakti is there, isn't it? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So Prahlad Maharaj said, Iti Pumsar Pita Vishnu, Bhaktischa Navalakshana, Kriyeta Bhagavati Adda, Tanmanye Aditam, Uttamam. He said, anybody who performs these nine, which I said just now, hearing about the Lord, chanting His names, remembering the Lord, like that he says nine, worshipping the Lord, offering obeisances and all that. I consider this to be real knowledge, Prahlad said. This is ultimate wisdom, ultimate knowledge. And Krishna talks of bhakti as ultimate in the 9th chapter also. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram, Idamuttamam, he says. But even while performing bhakti, still if one wants to know more deeply, what is the ultimate principle even in bhakti? So there are two slogans given by our acharyas. Smartavyam satatam Vishnur, Vismartavyam na jatachit. Sarve vidinishe dasur yatyor eva kinkaraha. In bhakti also there are many rules and regulations you have to follow. For example, when you enter the temple, you have to offer dandavat pranam. That is also one rule, isn't it? And one should accept prasadam. One should deal with everyone respectfully and all that. Many, many rules and regulations are there. But amongst them, what is the topmost? Always think of Krishna and never forget Him. This is considered the topmost principle of religion. Always remembering the Lord, thinking of the Lord. If one is chanting, if one is hearing about the Lord, and one's mind gets absorbed and attracted to hearing about Him, and philosophically one's mind is fixed in eagerness of knowing more about the Lord, at the same time, one is sufficiently purified by chanting Hare Krishna, then this will happen automatically. What will happen? Then the constant thinking of Krishna will happen. So these two are very essential. First, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, and then comes Smaranam, Padasevanam afterwards. So the Shravanam and Kirtanam should be of very high quality. Only then the Smaranam is possible, remembering the Lord. So remembering the Lord is actually a concomitant result of good hearing and chanting. If hearing is not proper, when we say it's not proper, there are many things to be said. One should hear from the right source, one should not hear from the wrong source. Avaishnava mukod girino putam harikatamritam shravanam naiva kartavyam sarpochishta yatapah. It is said, one should not hear Krishna katha from the lips of a mayavadi or an impersonalist or one, many people, pseudo-religionist. We should not hear from a sahajya. We should not hear in the television in the morning. Just switch it on and anybody speaks on Krishna, we can hear. People think. Like, you know, when I went to South India recently, they were saying, you switch on the TV, you hear Krishna Katha, Ram Katha, Krishna Katha, so many people are speaking. So my sister was telling, I am hearing every day, so much Ram Katha, Krishna Katha, freely available. Put on the TV, you get that. But it is like sarpo chishta yata apayaha. It's like a milk touched by a serpent. Sometimes when you hear certain people, it is so attractive. They speak such a sweet language, they make you cry. They'll make you even weep also. You know, when you hear the lectures, it really melts your heart, and there are people who are capable of making thousands of people cry like that. But although they speak so powerfully, Shastras condemn such people also. It is said, Manina Bhushita Sarpa Kim Masau Na Bhayankaraha. It is said, Manina Bhushita Sarpa. Manina means the money. Bhushita Sarpa. Sarpa is actually a serpent. A serpent on whose head there is Kohinoor kept. is far more dangerous than a serpent who has no Kohinoor on the head. Who will be attracted to a mere serpent? But if a serpent is having a Kohinoor diamond, then one may get some kind of temptation. Maybe let me try to carefully take the diamond without, you know, without touching the serpent. And as soon as you touch it, you will get a... immediately it will hit you and kill you. That is why it is said, very learned people, if they are mayavadis or impersonalists, they can give the poison along with devotional service to you. So, then what will happen? Our devotional service will become tainted with such kind of poison. We can't actually heart of hearts love Krishna, worship Krishna, understanding Krishna to be the eternal object of our love. We will think, I will become Krishna one day. Even those who speak on Gopi Katha, Gopi Gitam and all that, they will say all Gopis were dancing, dancing at last and everyone merged into Krishna, they will say. Although such a thing never is said in Bhagavatam. There are many, many people like that. So the hearing has to be from a proper spiritual master coming in disciplic succession. So the hearing quality information is very, very important. Hearing like from Prabhupada's purport, Bhaktivedanta purports. It's very, very important. This is capable of producing love in our hearts, not producing, reviving love in our hearts. And we hear. Similarly, chanting also. We may hear nice information, we may know everything properly, but if we don't chant with full attention and absorption, then we remain superficial devotees. Superficial devotee means external formularies we follow very nicely, but the heart has not experienced any change. That is superficial devotion. When we come to one another verse, we will be reciting from the 18th chapter, I will say something more about the superficial devotion. So, if we remain superficial devotees, neither can we taste Krishna consciousness well, nor can we give up sense gratification easily. See, the problem with superficial devotion is, for the world we can show that we are devotees. We are moving about wearing tilak, kantimala, moving as devotees. But actually our heart is not experiencing the joy of devotion, on one hand. On the other hand, we are also clinging on to the material attachments. We are not ready to leave them, holding on to them. And when you hold on to them, can these two things go together? Krishna consciousness and sense gratification go? How do they go? Ill together, Prabhupada says. They go ill together. So one leg here, one leg there, it's like keeping two legs in two boats. You can't be very happy. Actually, Krishna consciousness has to be practiced very joyfully. What verse says that? Susukam kartam avyayam. Also he says, you know, when the mind is, when the intelligence is fixed in the process, then he says, prasanna chetasho hyashu buddhi pariyavatishtate. He says, prasanna chetasho hyashu. So when sense gratification is gone, then the heart is joyful, truly joyful. That's why he says, vishaya chadiya kabe shuddha habemana, he says. When one gives the vishaya, then one can experience. So, when hearing and chanting is good, then comes the smaranam, thirdly. Then one will be able to feel absorption in Krishna and thinking of Krishna. In fact, the highest principle of religion in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is, in the beginning, remembrance of Krishna. And beginning from there, when you go steps ahead, then Prabhupada explains, just as the six Goswamis of Vrindavan were always absorbed in the mood of gopis, anandena mattalikav, the verse says that, isn't it? Anandena mattalikav, joyfully they were absorbed in the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan, feeling separation from Krishna. So remembrance of Krishna is the first step. And while one is remembering, as one progresses, then one feels a longing to meet Krishna, feeling separation from Krishna. That is considered the highest platform of religion. When Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were discussing, they were discussing many, many platforms of religion, beginning from the lowest, performing one's prescribed duty, then going to Sarvadharman Parityajya, abandoning all one's duties and surrendering to the Lord. So when they went higher and higher, then they come to the point of pure loving devotion service to Krishna in the spiritual world. And then the love of the gopis or Krishna, that is the highest actually. So If you see in Bhagavad Gita, amongst the 18 chapters, the 9th and 10th chapters form the middle chapters, and amongst them the 9.34, which we read already before, what was it verse? We'll repeat together. Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanah. And this very verse is repeated in the 18th chapter, 64th verse, verbatim as it is, except the last 1/4 of the verse. Everything else, except second half of the verse, everything is as it is repeated. So this verse is said to be the most confidential verse in Bhagavad Gita, where Lord Krishna gives a direct confidential instruction to Arjuna what Arjuna should do in order to perform the ultimate religion. He says here, Manmana, always think of me. Mama madbhakto, become my devotee. Madhyaji means worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer your obeisances to me. Acharya has explained that he wants Arjuna to think constantly, 24 hours a day. If you cannot think of me like that, then become my bhakta and practice thinking of me. If you cannot become my bhakta also, at least regularly worship me for a prescribed period of time. Every morning, keep the aarti plate with you and worship me regularly. If you cannot become a proper devotee of mine. Then if somebody says, oh, even worshipping is difficult for me, I don't get time, at least do one dandavat. Maam namaskuru. At least do namaskuru. Why? Because if you do namaskar to me, then you will get the inspiration to worship me. Someday you will want to worship me. And once you start worshipping me, gradually you will get my bhakti also. And once my bhakti comes, then you will always think of me. Like that you will get promoted more and more. And also Krishna said in this verse how it is not enough for you to work hard for me, laboring very hard while the mind is wandering here and there. I want you to always think of me while doing your work. That is very important. In fact, the seed of devotion lies in thinking of Krishna while performing our work. Performing work is external. Remembering Krishna is internal. A combination of the two only can be considered bhakti. Not only performing work. Like it says, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Ma Manusmara Yudhyacha. There one Acharya comments there. He says, Krishna says first Ma Manusmara is important. And then he said Yudhya. That means without thinking of me, doing Yudha is useless. He says. So Mahamanasmara is very important. So Krishna has put it first, he says. So thinking of me is very, very important. So later the very same verse is repeated. Let us recite that 18.64. Here there are some very nice commentaries of Acharyas. We will repeat that. 18.64. Actually 65 he speaks this. But here 64 he gives a prelude to speaking 65. See what he says. Sarva guhyatamam bhuyah shrinume paramam vachah ishtosime dhridhamiti tato vakshyamite hitam. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. So like that he gives a prelude here. That means sarva guhyatamam bhuyaha is this, the word bhuyaha. Bhuya means again I am speaking this, again, second time. That means I already spoke this before, now I am again speaking this. Shrinume, hear it. Paramam vachaha. Paramam means the supreme instruction. Not ordinary instruction, the supreme instruction. Ishtosime, because you are very dear to me. That's why I am telling you. I won't tell this to anybody. But I am telling only you. I won't tell this to a jnani or a yogi or a pretender. I am telling this because you are my very dear friend. Actually, Krishna, although he spoke See, just before this verse 63, if you see, he said, Yatechasi Tatakuru, he said. Which means, Mumrushyaitad Asheshena. My dear Arjuna, I have given you this knowledge, take it, analyze it nicely, and then do what is liked by you. Yate Ichasi Tatakuru. Like that he said in 63. So, Vimrushaitad, when you say, which means analysis has to be done by whom? Arjuna, not by Krishna. Krishna has done his part. I have given you the knowledge. And you analyze. And you accept what is to be accepted. Just like if you give a child a cup of grape juice and a cup of wine, how can he distinguish between the two? And to tell, now you analyze carefully and you drink what is good for you. So he may commit a mistake also. He may commit a mistake in drinking the wrong cup. And he may invite trouble. So Krishna observed, Acharya say that, after giving this, see what Acharya say. Now Arjuna was deeply contemplating and deliberating. And Krishna felt compassion for his devotee. And Krishna also looked at him. Just see this, Arjuna is thinking what to do now. And then he spoke this verse 64. After that, he's speaking this 64, 65, 66. After that, then Krishna took compassion on Arjuna and thought, better let me tell him the truth. Instead of having Arjuna having to struggle with what is to be done now. So he's saying, okay Arjuna, I'm telling you the topmost secret now. Instead of you troubling yourself, take it from me. This is the most confidential instruction. Shrinume paramam vachah. Anyway, you are very dear to me. I am just telling you, this is what you should be doing. Do it. So here he is saying the same verse.
Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mame vaishyasi satyamte. Patijane priyosime.
Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So here, Krishna is promising, I promise you that you will come to me. Surely come to me. Now Arjuna is asking, Acharya has explained. But Krishna, you are from Mathura and the Mathuravasis tell many lies. He is saying, they say this is satyam, that is satyam, but they don't keep that satyam. But then Krishna is replying, that may be true, but never to those whom they love. He says, that means they may tell lies to others, but they never tell lies to those whom they love from their heart. Similar, Arjuna, I am telling you this truth, Patijane Priyasim, I am telling you this truth, that you will surely come back to me. And here Prabhupada explains in the purport here, one should not become, of course, Prabhupada, first he says, the most confidential part of this knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours, he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. So this gives us a clue what is expected of us to live. So one should not become an official meditator of Krishna. Amongst the Vaishnavas also, there are different types of Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami that your father and your uncle, Govardhan Majumdar and Hiranya Majumdar, they are also related to my father and my family lineage. So I can joke about them in this way. And he said, and he told Raghunath Das Goswami, both of them, although they are also some kind of Vaishnavas, still they are not Vaishnavas of the highest order. They are materialistic Vaishnavas. So they are always like the worms trying to enjoy. They are always trying to enjoy the material world, at the same time be some sort of Vaishnavas, some sort of devotees. So indirectly he explained this point, that one may be officially playing the role of a Vaishnava, but not be a proper Vaishnava. How can we know that? That will be seen from the commitment and surrender. Acharya has given explanation that a sold out animal, the animal that is sold out to a farmer, for example, whatever the farmer gives him to eat, he will eat. Wherever the farmer takes him, he will go. And whatever the farmer tells him to do, he will do. If he tells him to plow, he will plow. If he tells him to sit, he will sit. So that is the condition of a sold out animal. And this is the explanation of surrender given by the acharyas, that a devotee is expected to do. That's like we find very exalted devotees. They actually get instruction from Krishna. And Krishna tells them, go here, go there, do this for me, do that for me. Like Madhavendra Puri got instruction. Prabhupada got instruction. When Prabhupada was in the Jaladuta, Prabhupada says how the, you know, he got two heart attacks and he was wondering, what am I going to do? How am I going to fulfill my mission? But then Lord came and gave him a vision that I am pulling your boat. Lord came in all the different avatars, and he was actually pulling the boat and escorting the boat and taking it to the other seashore. And then Lord gave him conviction. He said, don't worry, I am with you, and you will be successful in your mission. So in this way, the Lord's devotees are guided by the Lord, and they actually drag the devotee. Although Prabhupada is in such old age, how much difficult it must have been for him. So devotees go wherever the Lord calls them, and the devotees eat whatever the Lord gives them, whatever the Lord supplies them, and the devotees are ready to do whatever the Lord tells them to do, like a sold out animal. Here in this definition, Prabhupada says, when can one go back to Krishna? He says, one should always think and act in such a way that his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. That means anybody who is official meditator, which means like minimum quota of 16 rounds I have finished today, keep the bead bag aside, now I don't have to worry about chanting anymore all day. And then one gets into worldly activities and hardly one gets to think of Krishna all day or all night. And then one, because one has taken diksha from a guru, one has to do that minimum official duty. Then such devotion will not help. See, here one more explanation given here. See, leaving the two verse, leaving one verse in between, if you see the 67th verse, he says here, idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na cha shushrushave vachyam na cha maam yobhyasuyati. There he says, this confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to those who are envious of me. Krishna says that. So here Krishna says this jewel-like knowledge should be protected also. Don't give it to anybody. So in that connection he is saying, Krishna is saying, it should not be given to anybody. It should be given only to those who have controlled senses. And he should be a devotee. Still, if he is not a devotee, if he is envious, do not give. And if he lacks faith in Krishna's form, then do not give to such a person. And persons who are always planning to harm others, other living entities, they should not be taught. Or those people who take this message as a social decoration, which means they just hear this message without understanding it, just for the sake of officially hearing it, don't give them also, he says. This not should not be given. And he says here, one acharya says here, even if one is not greedy but attached to wife, children, family, improvement, he cannot take to devotional service. Which means there are people who are materialistic devotees who want to do Krishna consciousness just for fun. Like they go to church or they go to temple or they go to mosque simply to make a show of devotional service. Although they are not at all serious about going back to God. They are not serious about practicing what Krishna says in the scriptures. Exactly what Krishna wants them to practice. They don't practice. But they just make a show of devotional service externally, but are attached to worldly things. So when we talk of worldly things, here he talks of, the acharya here talks of not being greedy but attached to all the, he talks about wife, children, family, improvement. Which means actually they are doing dharma for artha. They are doing dharma to gain artha, and after they get artha, they will do kama. And when they don't enjoy in kama, they will be frustrated, then they will seek moksha. And this is not bhakti at all. Bhakti starts beyond moksha. That means a person performing bhakti should not even desire moksha at all, liberation. A person should perform bhakti out of love. So he says such people cannot understand the message of Bhagavad Gita. So acharyas have given, this is how the acharyas given the deep message of how the bhakti should be taken in a spirit of wanting to become a pure devotee. You know, Gaur Mohande, when he was having a shop, hardly would work about 3-4 hours a day when he was doing his business in the shop. But he was a very great devotee. Prabhupada explains about him that he was a pure devotee of the Lord. Prabhupada explains about his father. Although Prabhupada accepted Bhaksan Sarasthi later, Prabhupada explains in one of his Bhagavatam introduction, he says that this bhakti, pure bhakti that I have, was originally given by my father and later on solidified by my spiritual master. He says like that. So in that way Prabhupada gives credit to his father also as the one who gave him the pure devotion. Which means, are you a businessman first and then a devotee? Are you a devotee first and then you are a businessman? How will you know that? So we have to analyze our own heart. And with what identity am I doing my work? What is my identity? Like somebody wakes you up from the sleep, what would be your identity? The morning when you get up. You know, one fellow, he would speak about 20 languages. Nobody knew what was his mother tongue. And he was very confident. He told people, nobody can find out my mother tongue. You ask anybody, I can speak equally fluently in all the languages. So this comes in Tenali Ram's story, you know. Tenali Ram was a very intelligent man. You know what he did? He told the minister that, you know, it's very easy to find his language. Now because it is cold winter, in the early morning you throw some chill water on his face. Then he will, you know, whatever language he shouts, that is his mother tongue. He said, you know. So that fellow was fast asleep and they threw chill water and he shouted in his mother tongue. He was giving some, you know, vulgar words. He was shouting and everyone understood this is his mother tongue, like that. Similarly, it's very easy to wear tilak, wear kantimala, you know, carry a bead bag in the neck and everything, you know, you can be looking like a devotee. But when the momentous hour comes, and the moment of death comes, or when we wake up in the morning, or we are woken up from the bed, how much devotee are we? We have to check. That's why I was telling, where is our priority? Whether remembering Krishna is our priority or remembering the things of this world is priority. I can confidently say remembering the things of this world is our priority, because even while chanting, our mind is like a motor all the time, dar 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 dar, all the time running, thinking of the things of this world. Plan making business, as we call it. Plan making business. Planning commission. Mind goes. So that is one of the parameters to assess our Krishna consciousness. If you are Krishna conscious, the mind should be serene. The mind should be calm, cool and collected, and be totally absorbed, focused in chanting and hearing. One should feel the presence of Radha and Krishna in the front, sitting and receiving our chanting. They are actually the object of our love. And they are hearing our chanting very joyfully. Seeing that the devotee is chanting, and they are hearing our chant. We are calling them and they are present. And they are hearing. And all the other things of the world are far away, waiting somewhere. Sometimes you go to the outskirts of the city, you find all the lights far away. You can see that. Sometimes you have seen that when you go to the outskirts. Like other day I had gone to your house, you know. In the top, you see, you know, the city is very active but very far away, you know. Buses are going, lorries are going, lights are also active, but this area is like, you know, totally secluded. Like that, a devotee's mind should be like that. It's totally secluded. Actually, you can be surrounded by hundreds and thousands of people. Even you can be in the midst of a fish market also. People are shouting and yelling and, you know, are in the midst of a railway station. But a devotee's heart is still totally aloof. Just you are there and Radha Krishna are there. You're just sitting with them and you are chanting and they are hearing and they are happy with your chanting. And they are receiving and they are blessing you. That is actual chanting. That is actual attentiveness. And all other activities kept far away. It doesn't mean such a devotee is lazy or inactive. When it comes to activity, that devotee may be the most active. Like Prabhupada was the most active devotee. But when it comes to calling the Lord's name, one should be attentive like that. So, absorption is most important in smaranam, with respect to remembrance. That is why there are different stages are explained in the Upadeshamrita, isn't it? Smriti, Anusmriti, and then Samadhi, it is explained. So, Smriti means how long are you able to hold the remembrance of the Lord for a given period of time. And then that Smarana Shakti should increase more. And it should increase more. And as it increases more and more, then this mission, what you are talking here, will be fulfilled. Man mana, what Lord is saying here. That is why in our chanting, first we have to worry about the methods, whether I am sitting erect, I am closing my eyes, and I am counting the beats properly, not slipping, I am not drowsing. All that we have to worry about. That is the methods. And as the methods are proper, then gradually one should ascend to the stage of mood. In the stage of mood, then we have to think of how am I leading my spiritual life? Am I leading my Krishna conscious life with a proper attitude? What is my attitude towards equals, towards juniors, towards seniors, towards spiritual master, towards other Vaishnavas? What is my mood? Am I leading my life in a serving mood or in a dominating mood? So one can think of the mood in which one is leading the life. And then as one is working on the mood, introspecting oneself, recognize, what is the next step? Regret, repent, rectify. These 4 R's, isn't it? So one has to recognize the faults, then one has to regret, and one has to repent. Actually, recently I read one sentence which really touched my heart so much. It says that in a heart where there is no repentance or where there is no regret, there is no possibility of prayer. There is no possibility of quality chanting, he says. That means we have to actually feel some vacuum. So only when there is vacuum, air can gush in, isn't it? Where there is vacuum, only there a fluid or air can gush in. Where there is no filling of vacuum, then how can anything come and fill up? If already a bottle is full, how can anything come in? Similarly, when a devotee comes to this proper mood, then that mood actually enhances one's chanting. Then the absorption comes. Then one comes to the stage of mellows. Mellows means then Krishna's pastimes make some sense to us. How Krishna deals with different devotees in Bhagavatam we read. And how the Lord deals with different devotees in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they make some sense for us. So, externally one may be surrounded by wife, children, business, family, friends, relatives and everyone. Externally all these things may be surrounding a person. But internally, heart of hearts, one's heart should be sold to Krishna. You know that story of monkey, you know, who said, I kept my heart in the tree, isn't it? At the same time, you know, crocodile had taken him, isn't it? So Prabhupada uses that story sometimes to explain the philosophy that, you know, we may be carried by Maya in this world. We should always give our heart to Krishna. So if your heart is with Krishna, even when you are put in situations where Maya is all around you, still there is no problem. Still you will be protected because your heart is with Krishna always. And the gopis' hearts were taken by Krishna when Krishna went into the forest, like that. So that is the meaning of not becoming an official meditator. So thinking of Krishna is not a artificial exercise. It is a natural result of proper hearing and chanting. Once a devotee, once Purnachandrapu was telling this to us, some devotees were asking him, how to remember Krishna? It is so difficult. Although you say, see here Prabhupada writes here, how to remember? Here in the next para he writes, these words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face, and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. Like the Lord has multivarious forms as Vishnu, Narayana, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge And this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. Like that he writes. So here Prabhupada gives a description of Krishna's particular form in which the gopis would meditate on him. So one should meditate on him. Now we all know the form of Krishna. Theoretically we know how Krishna looks like. We have seen Krishna pictures. So many times we have seen Krishna deities. But what is the difficulty? Why are we not able to remember him? What is the problem? There are many problems, many reasons. One of the reasons is that we are all attached to many sub-religious principles. Our own idea of how the religion should be. There are many people, even after coming to ISKCON, they are more particular about following lower religious principles than surrendering to Krishna. Like for example, there is a book called as Ekadashi. You know that? This book Ekadashi is published in ISKCON by somebody. So, some devotee started reading this book regularly and started speaking things from that. So, once in Chapati, when the talks were coming amongst devotees, once Radhanath Swami was mentioning that, you know, it's not very, very much necessary for us to know all these Puranic things and story behind everything. If you do this upas, you will get this result. If you do that upas, you will get that result. You know, and there was an Adhikmas, you know, Adhikmas time. Once a devotee in Bombay gave a lecture about the glory of Adhikmas on Sunday. And anyone who takes bath, you know, in some Ramkund or somewhere and Adhikmas time, you know, they will get such and such result, you know. And it was actually the last day, I think, Sunday, he was giving the lecture. And all people came to know, oh, really? You are supposed to take bath in Ramkund immediately. That afternoon, they heard the Sunday fish lecture. Some of them got up in the middle of the lecture only. And they captured a bus, you know, to Nasik, and there was a huge congregation. Some 200 devotees went to Nasik or so to take bath in Ramkund there. I don't know what mass was it. I think it was Adhikmas, I think. Huh? Adhikmas only, no? Yeah. So they went. Later on, there was a big discussion in Brahmachari class about this. What was spoken was that, you know, we should not overly emphasize rituals in our lectures. There are many, many sub-religious principles given in the Shastra. But they all are sarve vidhi nishedasyur yetayor eva kinkara. Remembering Krishna, thinking of Krishna is a far superior religion than to follow all the other lower religions. It's not that one shouldn't follow them, but one shouldn't follow them at the cost of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes in the name of practicing Krishna consciousness, people are more attached to the rituals and rites. They're more attached to that. Like for example, you know, when Prabhupada was taking sannyas, that time the Vedic mantras were being chanted, you know. But Prabhupada's godbrother Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji was singing Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada would tell him, sing loudly, he would wave his hand. And he would sing loudly, then the Vedic brahmanas would say that, your singing is not so important, you know, you keep it low, you know. Sing in one corner, you know, we are chanting the Vedic mantras. And Prabhupada would tell him, you know, you sing loudly. He would tell him to sing louder. Because Prabhupada was sure that, you know, the holy name contains everything. But the external ritual of Vedic mantras is secondary. Similarly, when the Vrindavan temple was started, Prabhupada had called Vedic Brahmins. Why? Prabhupada told the Western disciples, I am calling these Vedic Brahmins only because all the Vijayavasis, many of the leaders of the Vijayavasis and all, they would come to see. People consider it more authorized only when you do it with Vedic Brahmanas. But Prabhupada said, holy name contains everything. Internally, we have to know that holy name contains everything. I want you to have that faith. So, people practice some kind of rituals and rites, although externally they may be devotee. Like one devotee was arguing. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion purport that one should worship Lord Ganesh. Prabhupada writes that. So he said, so I faithfully worship Ganesh every day. I recite the Atharva Shirshana, he was telling. I do that every morning. Of course, nowhere it is said one should not worship Ganapati. Even Rupa Goswami says, you know, before doing anything, one can worship Ganesh in the beginning. Just as any ordinary materialist would worship. But what is important is to know that Ganesh is a devotee of Lord Narasingadev. And he keeps the two lotus feet of Narasingadev on his two tusks. And that's where he also derives the strength to become Vignaharta. Ganesh is called as Vigna Vinashak Vesana. So we also say Vigna Vinashak for whom? Narasingadev also, isn't it? Bhakti Vigna Vinashak Narasingadev Bhagavan Ki Jai Vesana. isn't it? So that Vigna Vinashak Shakti for Ganesh comes from where? He is a devotee of Lord Narasingadev, that is explained. So people don't remember that. Sometimes people take the detail and they magnify it, blow it up, and they say that means, you know, Ganesh is, you know, Ganesh should be worshipped, Ganesh can be worshipped like we worship Krishna. And then over a period of time it will become irreligion also. Like, you know, Tilak introduced Ganesh worship in Pune, I heard, all over Maharashtra. Today if Tilak comes back to life, he will weep tears to see how Ganesh is being worshipped in the modern times. You can see with rock music. And they give cricket bat in Ganesh's hands. Yeah, they do all that. You can see that. So religion can become a religion later on, when only rituals are captured. So along with rituals, the essence should be understood. That is why here Acharya has given a comment here. Before the 66th verse, Acharya is saying, don't worry, Arjun, about the Vedic injunctions. I have only spoken those Vedic injunctions. I am not telling you to give them up. Now, if you don't follow me, then that is sinful, he says. So just give up all the lower religious principles. You just think of me, Krishna is saying. So Arjuna is again asking this question in between this 65 and 66 verse. Krishna, should I meditate on you while performing my ashrama dharma? Or should I only meditate? What should I do? He is asking. And then Arjuna is asking, you have said so many things, Krishna. Tell me only one thing. Make it simpler for me. Make it simple. What should I do? And then this is called as Charama Shloka, 66th verse. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashuchaha. So abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So the Acharya has explained. Previously I told that you have no adhikar for ananya bhakti. But now I am giving you a special adhikar, Arjun, out of love for you. I have broken my promise that bhakti will be given only through my devotees. I am giving you bhakti directly. Just accept this bhakti and you surrender unto me, Krishna says. Here, that's why he gave the name surrender unto me, to that book. So here, in this verse, Krishna is telling Arjuna that you don't need to do anything. Just surrender unto me. Don't grieve for yourself or others. I am ready to accept the burden of maintaining my devotee. So you just surrender unto me only. Here, see Baladeva Vidyabhushan Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. You know what they have said? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is saying here. What is the meaning of Sarva Papebhya Moksha Shami? He says, the whole universe can stop everything else and engage in my devotion. I am responsible for their maintenance and their sin. So this is a very lofty quote by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. What he says? The whole universe can stop everything and just become my devotee. And I am responsible for their maintenance. Which means, just as Narada Muni told Mrigari, Mrigari, break your bow. He said, and Mrigari asked, what will happen to my profession? If I don't do my job, then how will I feed my family members? Narada Muni said, that is my job. You just chant the holy names and everything will come to you. He told him very confidently, and Mrigari just followed him. And then everything came. And people are bringing cartloads of rice and grains and wheat and vegetables and everything. So much so that Mrigari had to stop them and tell them, no. Now you have given me so much that even after I cook all this, after I eat, I may have to distribute it to others. So much you have given me. Like that he told them. So, Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarma Karma Krita Hai. It is said. What is the first line? Shraddha Shabde Vishwasa Kohe Sudrida Nishchai Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Krita Hai. If I do Krishna Bhakti, then everything else will follow automatically. Like that. So, for example, if one takes care of the soul, one takes care of everything else automatically. How? For example, if you become conscious that I am not the body, I am the soul. You see in your own life, you will see. How many of you observed that after you became Krishna conscious, you automatically became more hygienic? How many of you? Isn't it? Yeah. How many of you found the state of your mind became more tolerant, submissive and forgiving after coming to Krishna consciousness? Certainly half the number. That means the body, the mind and intelligence, everything follows the soul. So if you take care of the soul, everything else follows automatically. In the same way, if the soul serves Krishna, all that is needed will be provided by Him. We don't have to worry. Krishna will fetch a job for you. Krishna will see that how many hours you should be working. It's all pre-planned. It's all planned by Krishna. Krishna will guide you very nicely if one has complete faith. Here he is saying, even if the whole universe stops its activity and just only devotion service, still Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna is saying that I am responsible for their maintenance. I can maintain every one of them. It's not a problem for me. So what does that mean? Should everyone give up all activity? Actually, we are not in that platform of giving up all activity and all the time chanting Krishna's name. We are not in that platform. So one should perform one's duty trying to remember Krishna. That is our platform. As much as we can. But the Lord, by speaking like this, has shown us how much He wants us to think of Him, remember Him. So when Lord says, you think of me, it is for our good that He says, you think of me. That very famous verse, which Prahlad said, by serving the Lord, we become benefited, not He. So He says this famous verse, Naivatmana praburayam nijalabha purno manam janada vidushak karuno vrinite yadyajano bhagavate vidadhita manam tachatmane pratimukasya yatha mukashri. When you put a bindi on the object, then the reflection will also have a dot. When you put a nose ring, then there also you'll see the nose ring. When you put a earring, there also you will see the earring. When you decorate this object beautifully, then the reflection also gets decorated. In the same way, when one serves the Lord, he becomes more beautiful. Like that. When one glorifies the Lord, that person becomes glorified. Actually, one who glorifies the Lord becomes the most glorified. One who dresses the Lord beautifully, he becomes very beautiful. Like that it is explained. So, by rendering devotional service to Krishna, we only get the benefit by serving Him. You remember I was telling in the last class also, I think, I was telling you the example that, you know, say any of you, say you own a Bata company in Pune. All of a sudden, you know, Prime Minister of India comes to Pune city. All of a sudden his, you know, chappal or shoe got broken. So immediately he found a Bata shop and he just entered. Because somehow by will of providence, you know, when he was walking his shoes got torn, you know. Then he saw the Bata shop and he's just entering into your shop. And then he comes and asks, can I have a shoe? Yes. And then you are finding him, he's surrounded by 20 people. He has come into your shop. All 20 people have entered there inside. And then asking for a shoe for the PM. How would you feel? Isn't it? You'd feel nice. How would you feel? You'd feel ecstatic. And immediately you would get all the shoes and put it in his feet and see which is fitting. And tie the lace and everything. And then everything is fitting. Will you ask for the bill? Not, you know, 199.99. You ask for the bill from him. So you will thank him, you know. Immediately you will ask your, you know, brother or son or somebody, you know, hey, get a camera, immediately click it. You should, you know, you should click a camera, you know, you should click in such a way that, you know, I am giving him shoe and he's accepting, you know. You know, people show like this, you know. Just click like that. You know? Like that, isn't it? So you feel very fortunate, huh, that he has entered your shop, you know. And you will click a photograph and put it in your shop, you know. And you will even advertise in your whole town. The shop which Prime Minister of India visited, you know. Like that. PM visited. And people will think, oh, it must be a very special shop, you know. And many will want to come there and buy. So, just as you would consider yourself very fortunate, you know, when Prime Minister comes. And same with Krishna also. When Krishna accepts service from us, who becomes fortunate? We become fortunate by that. Not Krishna. So, by rendering service to Him like that. So, in this way, one should increase one's remembrance of Krishna, thinking of Krishna more and more and more. So Krishna is demanding this because He knows well, if one thinks of Me constantly, then they will achieve Me in this very life. Because whatever thoughts are predominating our mind, we can easily know that those are the thoughts which are going to be given shape in the next life. They are going to get a body similar to that. Yeah. Actually, I used to analyze, introspect myself. how my thought process is flowing. You know, when I was a mechanical engineer, I was working in the, you know, I was so attracted to this engineering drawing, you know, drawing isometric views. At one time, I became so maddened by these isometric views that, you know, I would draw isometric view of anything and everything I see. Any object you see, immediately I would draw, you know, isometric views and show to friends, you know. So then I got into workshop and I was very, very inspired by this field of mechanical engineering. So my mind was flooded with thoughts of, you know, designing new machines, you know, new kind of objects. So while sleeping and while waking up, you know, all the time I would be scribbling on papers, you know, different kinds of machine parts and suggestions how this machine part could be changed and everything. So this mathematics and mechanical engineering, these were two like laddus for me, you know. Either mathematics, I'll be solving problems or, you know, making all these things. But in my last year, when I was introduced to computers, then I became mad in the computer, you know, learning new packages, you know. And computer was, actually anybody who doesn't know computer, to get into it, you can really go mad, you know. There is so much to learn. It's like a oceanic, you know. So much to learn, this package, that package, you know. Writing programs, and especially if the result comes in a program, you are finished. That means you are hooked now, huh? You are hooked. You know, you are debugging, after some time you get the result, you know. At last the result has come, things clicked, and you got the proper result. Then you are hooked for another 25 years, you can assume that. It's like that. Then I got into that field when I went to company also, you know. I got into that department where I can always keep doing programming, you know, writing programs. And my, all the time my, you know, mind will be flooded with do loops and, you know, and all the time. So, as if, you know, just like in a do loop, you go repeatedly, iteration. Like that, my mind was into do loop. All the time thinking of program. So when I was working in the company, I would come back while lying in the bed also in the night, you know. In the middle of the night, some idea will come. I'll jump up from the bed and immediately, you know, hey, this was a mistake I committed, you know. Take the program and see and fit it in. Mind gets really, while walking, just like, you know, it was like a japa. All this constantly going in the mind. Huh? So we all actually experience a transformation in our mind. Our mind is actually a subtle body. Huh? Experience a transformation. Then it came to Krishna consciousness, meeting devotees. And one thing is, the Krishna consciousness movement is so designed that you will be forced to think of Krishna. Even if one is not attracted to Krishna or attached to Krishna, one will be forced to think of Krishna by various ways. Right from the time we wake up in the morning. One observation we made when we are living in the ashram. In the ashram, we don't get to see anything. You find the dhotis and kurtas, you find the tilak boxes, you find the spiritual books, where will you turn around? Or you find a devotee singing Hare Krishna, or some cassette is going on. You know. Either you are in the ashram, when you come to temple hall, there also you find you know, Radha Krishna deities, or you go to the programs and speak about Krishna. So, keeping ourselves surrounded by Krishna all around, it really helps us to calm down our mind, calm down our raging mind. We should not titillate the mind with worldly things as much as possible. We should reduce our engagement in the world as much as possible. Like, you know, if any of us have an opportunity, like one boy got a job, you know, where he has to work about 14 hours a day. And there is another job he has to work only about 9 hours a day. And the difference in salary is just about 5,000 rupees monthly. And this boy had a tough time, you know, deciding which one to take. Should I work 9 hours and I'll have more time for Krishna? And then his mind convinced him that, you know, better you take 14 hours job, because after all this is the age to earn, you know. You have to earn a lot of money. So we all are going to be offered with varieties of allurements. Try this, try that, you can earn more here. 1,000 rupees more, 2,000 more, you feel better that, like that. So there are so many allurements offered in this world. But an intelligent devotee is one who always plans his life in such a way that we have more time for Krishna. More and more. I can very confidently say, right from the time I joined the ashram, 94 I joined the ashram. Since then, the kind of transformation I saw in my heart, in my life and in my activities, behavior, everything, it's a radical change, we can say. Actually, when we absorb ourselves in hearing, chanting and associating, it totally changes our behavior also. And it increases our attraction for hearing. And it increases our remembrance. And it increases our eagerness to surrender more. So it's like, you know, you want to surrender more. When you surrender, then Krishna is attracted. Then he gives you more blessing. You get more blessing, you want to surrender more. Huh? It gives more blessing. It's like it goes on building up, more and more. Now also I work with computer, but I hardly think of computer. Now I work on so many books. But now I'm more, instead of thinking of the programs, I'm thinking of the book, next book, when will it come out, and the content of the books. And the content of the books also is Krishna consciousness. It helps us to think of Krishna. And the activities that we are doing all day, as much as possible, it should be Krishna conscious. So that, like in a home, for example, like I'm coming from South India, a very wonderful devotee called Parameshwar Prabhu. I was there yesterday morning there. So he's an example of a very wonderful devotee. So he keeps his day so Krishna conscious. He had some Hare Krishna textiles he was having for some time, and then later on the business wasn't so good, so he just closed it down. And he's just doing Krishna consciousness all day. So once I asked him a couple of years ago when I went, how are you going to survive? He said, my son is in engineering last year, you know. Once he comes out, you know, he will take care of us, and we have some money saved in the bank. So he and his wife, they were so Krishna conscious, and now his son is in Bahrain now. So morning he wakes up just like in Hare Krishna temple, gets up at, you know, 4:30, he does practically everything as it would happen in ISKCON temple, you know, Mangala Aarti, Narasingha Aarti, Tulasi Aarti, Guru Puja. He gives Bhagavatam class. He gives class only his wife has to hear. He gives class and his wife is hearing. And his daughter has to go to college early. So she hears, she sits and hears also. And they cook and he offers bhoga. And the standards are like high class standards. They have Shishi Radha Madhav at home. Offering the offering of bhoga standards, I saw it's really high class. And then every evening he has a preaching program. Go out to different places, different temples he goes, some houses he goes, he gives preaching program. One day Bhagavata class, one day Bhagavatam class, one day Chaitanya-charitamrita class, you know, three classes, and then one or two days he also goes to temple. So he keeps his day very, very Krishna conscious, you know, wearing beautiful tilak all over his body with only one angavastra on the top, clean, shaved and shikha. So he was telling me, he's living in a flat somewhere, he's changed over to a bigger flat now, his son is working now. So he was telling me, and when I was chanting 2 hours in the morning, so I thought he may do some work. He just went there and he was sitting with harmonium, and he was, you know, now he's learning harmonium now in order to make his programs better. He was telling, I am determined, Prabhuji, just, you know, I want to enhance my devotional service more and more. Of course, from the common man's viewpoint, somebody may call him an irresponsible fool, if anybody sees. But he has that luxury, he can do that. Because he's a old man, he must be, you know, beyond 55 now, you know, 55 or something like that. So his son is working abroad, you know, he's earning money and he doesn't have to work. So he's just devotionally, all the time devoted. Either he's counseling devotees, meeting devotees, doing program, chanting, singing, ecstatically situated, very, very happy. Actually, as years pass by, as we grow older and older and older, we should mold our life in such a way that we have less contact with material world or material energy of the Lord. Because working with material energy and still keeping Krishna conscious is not an easy joke. It's really a great challenge. Like many students ask me, many working people ask me, oh Prabhuji, my mind is wandering when I am chanting. Or, you know, I am not able to chant. And it doesn't come as a surprise to me. Because imagine a boy working 12 hours, 14 hours in a computer. You know, working with programs or doing so many things. And then you have to chant 2 hours in the morning. It's very difficult. It's really very, very difficult. So we have to... we can offer our money to Krishna, it's very good. Pranair, Arthair, Diya, Vacha, many things. But the greatest thing we can offer to Krishna is our heart, which Krishna relishes the most. That's why he says, think of me always. So, totally depending on Krishna. Here at the end of Bhagavad Gita, we find Arjuna fighting the war, doing his duty and offering the fruits to Krishna. That is what is taught to us also, that we have to do our duty. We can't run away from the world. At this point, if we try to run away, we can't. If we do it, probably we can't put our heart in Krishna totally. That's why we are allowed to do work. We can do the work at the same time, offer the fruits to Krishna. But while doing the work, also increase our remembrance. Whereas these verses which you recited now, that is not for the kind of remembrance that I am speaking now today. This verse 17 which we recited, Katam Vidyamaham Yogim Stvam Sada Parichintayan. With reading this one or two points in the purport, we will conclude. Here he says here, Prabhupada, now Arjuna is convinced that his friend Krishna is the Supreme Godhead, but he wants to know the general process by which the all-pervading Lord can be understood by the common man. common men, including the demons and atheists, cannot know Krishna because he is guarded by his yogamaya energy. Again, these questions are asked by Arjuna for their benefit. The superior devotee is concerned not only for his own understanding but for the understanding of all mankind. Here he addresses Krishna specifically as yogin because Krishna is the master of yogamaya. And he says, the common man who has no love for Krishna cannot always think of Krishna. Therefore, he has to think materially. Because the materialist cannot understand Krishna spiritually, they are advised to concentrate the mind on physical things and try to see how Krishna is manifested by physical representations. So this is a lower platform of thinking Krishna. The highest platform of thinking Krishna is to think of Krishna's spiritual form, a Shyamsundar form, always in the heart. Like we say, no? Tomara hridaye sada govinda vishram. Tomara hridaye sada govinda vishram. Lord Krishna in his Shyamsundar form is residing in your heart always, for a pure devotee. Also that verse, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shyama sundaram achintya gunaswarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. See, yam shyama sundaram achintya rupam, that is the rupam in which Lord is reading the heart of a devotee. But who can think of Krishna in that form? Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. Only such a person can think of Krishna. So that thinking of personal form of Krishna is reserved for a pure devotee. All the time thinking of that form of Krishna, that's not possible. Then what is next step? We can, as I was telling, what I was talking today is working for Krishna, doing activities for Krishna, which make us think of him, like that. On one hand, you hear the pastimes of Krishna and you chant Krishna's names and also work for Krishna. We can do like that. And follow the principles of Bhakti Yoga, we can do that. That is second thing. People who are not even able to do that, they should learn to see Krishna by the way Krishna explains in this chapter. We will be reading that how Keshu Keshu Jabhaveshu, like he explained in 7th chapter, I am the taste of water, I am the light of the sun, I am the light of the moon, I am the power of the powerful people, I am the prowess of the powerful people, and the intelligence of the intelligent. So we have to see Krishna in various manifestations as his energies and try to see that he is the energetic behind these energies. So this is a similar thing that Krishna explains in the 10th chapter. 82 opulences he is going to talk about now in the subsequent verses, by which Krishna gives us a clue how by seeing these opulences one can ultimately come to the point of thinking of Krishna. Actually, Krishna will not appreciate this question at the end of this chapter. We will see. Krishna tells Arjuna, Arjuna, what is the use of knowing all these opulences? There is no need to know these opulences because I have just given you a clue, a spark of my splendor. But all these things are manifestations which are resting on a small spark of me. In fact, Eka Amshena Stito Jagat, he will say. In my one Amsh, the whole universe is standing, Arjuna, he will say. And then Arjuna will ask a question. Oh, really? How, what is that one Amsh on which the whole universe is standing, Krishna? How do you do that? That he explains in the 11th chapter. That one Anch is actually the Vishwarupa Darshan, in which he is holding the whole universe. Then we can understand how great is Krishna's 200 form. If the universal form is just one Amsh, Ekam Shena Stito Jagat. You can understand like that. So because one cannot understand Krishna's greatness by looking at his 200 form, the Lord has to explain all these opulences and explain about his Vishwarupa Darshan. And Arjuna is painstakingly doing that for our benefit, for the benefit of the general people. But personally, Arjuna already has surrendered to Krishna already in the verses we saw before. What was the verse? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, all that. Sarvam Etat Ritam Manye. I accept all that you told to be true. What more is to be told about him? So accepting the Shyamsundar form, 200 form, this goes to show Arjuna didn't have to wait to see the Vishwarupa Darshan to accept God, but accepted the 200 form of Krishna, the Shyamsundar form, as ultimate God. He accepted that. And that's how the pure devotee also accepts. Like great like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Shyamsundar form. Madhavendrapuri saw the Shyamsundar form when they were feeling separation from Krishna. They never saw the Vishwarupa Darshan or, you know, Sahasra Shirsha Purusha, the thousand-headed form. They didn't see that. They didn't see impersonal manifestation, nor did they see the super soul in the heart of everyone. They all are considered to be lower. The highest realization is, as we said, man mana, mama mad bhakto, madhyaji, maam namaskaro. That was the actually the platform of the Shad Goswamis also. Shad Goswamis and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Acharyas. So we have to know that this is my ideal. That is the ideal that we all have to achieve one day. That means when we see the form of Krishna, currently we are not able to feel that emotion because our heart is covered with so much cloud. So much of cloud of anarthas. But a time will come when we can experience that feeling. So Pranajan was telling us, when we asked him, that we are not able to experience that, you know, fondness for Krishna. We don't even feel, you know, that Lord is in my heart, or Lord is a part of my life, you know. Why we are not even able to feel that? So he gave us such a simple example. He said, he asked, any of you know driving, he asked. And some of our brahmacharis raised hand. Then he said, imagine that your spiritual master is sitting by your side and you are driving the car. How will you feel? He said. Will you be conscious or not? He asked. They said, yeah, we will be very conscious. He's sitting with the side and I have to drive the car very carefully. I should not drive rashly. Ordinarily, you would go very fast, you know. But in spiritual master sitting, you know, you will show how wonderful you are driving the car, you know. So he should be happy with you. You will drive as slowly as possible and as carefully as possible. Because you are conscious of his presence. So he said, in the same way you have to be conscious of Krishna, he said. Just like you would be conscious of your spiritual master, the same way you have to be conscious of Krishna also in your life. As simple as that, he said. So he said, try to always think that everything that you enjoy is actually supplied by Krishna. Like that. Actually, it takes one acharya has written that one who has been always reciting the names of Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, many lifetimes, only such a person can chant the names of Krishna in this life. Some people you have seen, they will always be singing Krishna's names as if helplessly. There is one devotee called Ram Mohan Prabhu, you know, in Kadakpur. So you will see he is endowed with that special ability to constantly sing Krishna's names, isn't it? You all have observed it? When he is rolling chapatis, when he is cooking, while walking, he will be singing in a very nice melody. Krishna's names will be constantly flowing. Sometimes I used to try to do that while, you know, going into the bathroom. You sing, and after half a minute it stops completely. And mind is again rutting in thoughts, so many thoughts of the day, what I will do today. But there is nothing, there is no harm in endeavoring to do that. We can at least endeavor to do that in this lifetime, so in next lifetime we will be helplessly chanting Krishna's names. Should endeavor to sing Krishna's names while going, while coming, while walking. You know this devotees, when they were cleaning this Gundicha temple, one fellow gave water saying Krishna Krishna, another fellow received the pot saying Krishna Krishna. One fellow was throwing water chanting Krishna Krishna, it is said. So that's how Prabhupada made everyone chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna while saying. So actually these are things which we can do. We should do things which are within our reach, so that we can achieve things which are beyond our reach. Isn't it? So whatever is within our reach, we should certainly adopt them to the best of our ability. In this way, someday we will be able to lovingly and feelingly think of Krishna as great devotees have thought.